Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Coming off Friday's all-time closing high, futures lower, yields up as Powell reiterates on 60 Minutes. The Fed wants more confidence before cutting rates. Busy week with a lot of consumer earnings and Fed speak. That's where our road map's going to begin. Another big week for investors. Now halfway through the earnings season. Dow comes off the best week of the year. S&P another fresh record close.
Plus, more issues for Boeing. It is reporting another problem with its 737 jets. It may delay the deliveries of about 50 aircraft. And shares of Caterpillar seem to be on track for what would be a record high at the open. That is following its latest earnings, which seem to have been a beat. We're going to break down the quarter with the CEO. It's a CNBC exclusive, and it will be later this hour.
Let's begin, though, with the markets after that record-setting week for stocks, Jim. Some work being done. Sam Stovall is a good example of what happens when you notch all-time highs in January and February.
Yep. Well, look, we had an astounding week last week, and it looks to continue. And I think that people have to recognize that there have been very few shortfalls and some monster by big companies increases. And it's kind of surprising because when you look at the sum total of the research today, almost every single thing is price target bump, price target bump, price target bump. And yet, of course, the averages are down, David, because the futures are loath to be able to recognize what's underneath, which is that in a rather extraordinary set of earnings, considering that we've had 11 increase, considering what we heard last night from.
When you say rather extraordinary set of earnings, what set are you thinking of?
Well,
particular?
Well, let's see. If you want to know what the strongest, I think, stocks are the industrials, and then the technology, and then so far retail. Not a lot of retail yet. These would have been the three that I would have shorted, looking at what the Fed's done. They would have made the most sense. They would have been the most crushed. And it's the opposite. So that leaves us all trying to think of, well, what happened to this soft landing, hard landing? And the answer is there's no landing. And that was what he put to bed last night, Jay Powell. There's no landing. It's just a good economy.
Right.
We're back to reality, dude.
Right. We didn't learn anything new from that interview.
No, but I'm just
night.
Saying
it was
that,
the same thing from the call. And they taped it, by the way, before we got the employment numbers. So.
Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Did I need to watch it? I was watching Masters of the Air. I had to switch.
No.
And I did, but that's because I didn't have my Vision Pro yet. But what I'm just saying is that you get a situation where it's a new suit.
It's a beautiful tie.
Stay focused.
It's a beautiful tie.
No, it's like Bihar. It's a second rate tie. It's half the price of my normal ties. It just looks the same.
Oh, I like it.
I went to Costco. They had great ties.
And it is.
I noticed. And you also said you can see the prices falling in real time.
Yes, you can. I mean, it's rather extraordinary. We went in with guns blazing at Costco.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was just
like real time means like you're walking through the store and you come back to an aisle and the price is lower.
I'm talking about an M&M package.
Yeah.
Well, M&M back to reality. I've got the full circle here. Let's go back to Powell for a second before we go to Costco. By the way, the gold is not available at the store. That's what I wanted to get. You can only buy that online, right? But the Shark vacuum cleaners, the price is just so through iRobot. The long knives are out for iRobot.
Well, iRobot's having some really difficult
right.
times,
but
given
to,
no
just
longer
to go
going
back
to be acquired to, by Amazon. Yes.
Right, to go back to Powell.
Yes, back to Powell.
I think that we're now in an era where what he's saying everywhere, not just with Scott Pelley, is that, look, we don't need to cut. We got a great economy. So, I mean, we're not supposed to have a great economy. That's why I started with the industrials. Eaton, Illinois Tool Works, maybe Caterpillar. The shorts have to take Caterpillar down. They cannot let this thing be up. They've been crushed. So the shorts.
So bad. I know.
Anybody heard of those other than Nate, which, you know, goes after companies that don't exist? I think, David, more important than anything is that we have the mandate, which says, look, we don't need to cut unless we have job slowdown. And instead we have, we could come in at 3.5 next month.
And we got wage increases on Friday that were fairly significant.
Nobody cares. Because it says that we're fine. It was fine. It's not supposed to be fine, but it is fine. Now, interest rates obviously went up.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that if you're looking, that this soft landing, hard landing dichotomy is something I want to take out of our conversation.
Right. You're in the no landing camp.
Exactly.
We just keep going.
Well, why should we have landing?
Right.
Why should we have landing? This is not Masters of the Air where we're trying to land in Greenland, trying to land at the British Air Base. You're not watching?
No, I haven't been watching that. Masters of the Air, Carl?
Apple
yes. Plus?
Yes, of course, right?
Apple Plus combined with the Vision Pro, along with someone who's riding on the subway and doing work, I think we discovered this week. Here's what happened this weekend. I think the Vision Pro went from boutique to upside surprise this weekend.
We're starting to get some street people put numbers on at least the hardware revenue contribution. Yeah. B of A, 46 cents over the next 5 years.
I know. Well, I think Tony Saganayu, if we have him on today, the best numbers for Vision Pro behind us.
Well, I mean, not to say that it is not going to usher in a new wave.
Look at that. He's got the whole thing.
Already thinking Super Bowl.
He's thinking,
me and Usher go way back.
Are you texting him right now?
I used to have his, yeah, he and I used to be texting buddies.
He's been on the
floor. You did not.
We did. We sat next to each other at a dinner. We were friends for a brief period.
Let me see.
All right. I'll show you later.
Right. I'm sure he's busy this week, but go on.
But the price point of that is still too high for it to become
a
broad consumer product. It's 35.
Tim has said to me over and over again,
how many people have that much money to drop on something?
You can do buy now, pay later. Have you ever heard of finance?
Buy now, pay forever?
Pay later, not forever. Look, you know, Tim has said over and over again, boy, like people just buy it like everything else they buy. They'll buy it with and pay interest. They'll buy it in installments.
I'm sure it will do quite well. I'm sure it will get
cheaper. Do you think it'll change the discourse?
And smaller over time. And
it
may very well usher in an era in which we're all wearing goggles of some kind as we more and more become digitally.
Did you see my post of the guy
digital
wearing
brains?
Goggles in the Cybertruck?
Yes, I saw that.
There you go. You don't need to hallucinate to get. You know, there's two hallucinations right now. There's hallucination on AI, which means, of course, that's the lies that they put in, including a dark video. But there's also the hallucination that was the 30-person Wall Street Journal story. Actually, only four bylines.
Four bylines, yep.
That's to get Elon Musk off the board.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit, I think, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's to get Musk. The long knives are out for Musk. Like I haven't seen in a long time.
It does appear that
was that the plainest information
there are some
in the Delaware case?
Somewhere who've decided they can start to turn on him in some fashion. It's true.
And how do you feel about that?
How do I feel personally about it?
Never mind. I don't care how you feel personally because you'll never give it to me anyway.
No. I'm not going to share my personal
opinion. I'll share my personal. I think that piece makes it sound like it's very hard for the SEC not to come back and look at whether he's an independent board. Which he was never. Who thought this was independent? There's just a web of wealth. But more importantly, I think they're going to say, well, wait a second. Is this man impaired?
Impaired.
I don't think he is at all.
The journalists, obviously, they are committed to this story.
Right, okay.
Keep coming back to the same
story. They were committed
and they keep finding more evidence from 2 years ago, this one, or 3 years ago, that one. You know.
Well, okay.
If it were written about any other CEO, everybody would be talking about it.
Thanks.
Suppose.
If it was written about a tool and die company.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
First of all, we wouldn't know and we wouldn't care.
I don't know. I know and I don't care. He's the greatest industrialist of our time.
He's the greatest single business person
did he
of
have
our
a,
time.
If he had a substance problem, which I don't think he had.
Well, that's the question. Does he have one or not?
He passed all the tests.
Right? He's not a drug addict.
He passed all the tests for the NASA contract. Why should we think that he's a drug addict?
Well, I don't think we should, and I don't think he most likely is not. I think it's two separate stories, although they are related by this idea that some of the board member's party with him, so to speak, but it's the interrelationships within the board and whether that is, in fact, a form of governance that is probably not a good one for shareholders. Yeah, it goes back to the McCormick's ruling, throwing out his pay package in Delaware a couple of weeks ago.
I think that that is integral
but
to what happened.
You raised an interesting point, which is who has he ticked off at this point who wasn't willing to turn on him in the past and now is?
Thank you.
Because that's really what's going on here.
It was Linda Johnson Rice who left
really
the board in 2019.
Meanwhile,
thank you. That's really what I was trying to get at.
Meantime, stories over the weekend about the EV slowdown making its way to Europe, where German sales of EVs may fall as much as 14% this year because of fewer credits. Jim Piper cuts deliveries and margins today.
I thought that was devastating.
And they say you should probably take this year to get educated on other non-automotive parts of the business.
Well, you have to because there's no longer going to be an upside surprise. You need to achieve sustainable valuation that no longer upside from the vehicles. And by the way, they cut the numbers of the vehicles. I thought that was really significant. I thought that this piece just said you're buying something that is radically overvalued unless they come up with something else. But you know what? It kind of reads, again, I'm going to take Musk's side for a second. This is like what happened with Apple, where the analysts decided to bury it if they didn't have a good guide for the cell phone. And then somehow the stock goes to $179.50, then it bounces back to $186. I think if you look at this and say, this is my Tesla file, what you control Tesla, Kathy Wood will take it right up. She'll buy every single share. She'll take it and bid it and take it and bid it and take it and bid it until it's up at the end of the day. Because that's what the buyers do. They control the float. That's been the case since this thing came public.
And you think that happens somewhere here in the 180s?
Absolutely. They cannot let that's what they do. Buyers, the fan person buyers,
so these,
take and bid.
These street lows of 150, 130, you don't think we get there?
Good luck.
There's still too much enthusiasm.
Good luck. There's too much enthusiasm. And yes, I mean, the Journal may try as best as it can to get Gensler involved and take a hard look at this because of the web of Atlanta independence. Remember, they related to what, Dzinga in the article?
I think anybody was under the illusion that you were getting a typical board here and a typical company to begin with.
That's my point.
You knew that going in. I mean, my God, remember Solar City? I mean, it's different.
If you read the piece.
It's Musk.
If you read the piece, did you really feel differently about Musk?
No.
I didn't either.
I didn't feel I learned anything I didn't know.
So he's a genius, and there are times when he has a party.
So your view is just caveat emptor on governance.
You bet. This is not Griselda, which, by the way, is really good. It's not Griselda. It makes it sound like it is. Parties on yachts, you know?
Well, Tesla now worth about half of Meta after that record-setting market cap surge on Friday. Biggest market cap build in a single day by any company ever. We'll talk more about what that means for the business and the future of social media. Take a look at the pre-market. There's going to be a lot to get to this week between earnings from the likes of PayPal and Disney and Uber and Pins. We're back in a minute.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists put people at the heart of everything they create, like Olu Sheyi, a Comcast engineer who grew up bonding with his dad over sports. This inspired him and his team to create AI Highlights technology that uses AI and machine learning to detect the major plays in a sporting event, so millions of fans have a way of catching up on their favorite sports. Learn more at ComcastCorporation.com.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Our running list of companies announcing job reductions continues. Snap today, Jim, is going to be cutting its global headcount by about 10%. Got some news out of SocGen today. And, of course, that's part of some other companies' story today.
You go back over what Musk talked about. I'm sorry. Oh, Musk is Musk. On my mind. What Mark Zuckerberg talked about. There was this moment in the middle of it which just said, hey, we don't need as many people to do this. We're not creating the content. You are. And we just turns out that we can make a lot more money than we thought. And David, I if I were Snap, I would do exactly what they're doing and just make more money on the ads. Because I thought that, by the way, the Zuckerberg thing was made me tremble as someone who's in the media, we have on TV.
Yeah.
Where are the ads going to come from linear?
I don't know. The numbers are staggering. When you look at Meta and Amazon and Alphabet, add that up compared to old media. It's not even.
But David, what happened to cop shows, hospital shows? What happened to those? I mean, murder, homicide, NCIS. What is that?
I mean,
do people not watch us?
No, there'll be some advertising for them. It is.
How about comedies?
A good comedy is still a good comedy. Come on.
I'm just saying. Well, yeah, but that's Larry David.
Of course, your point is well taken. Jim, listen, we ran out of superlatives to describe Meta's quarter on Friday. It added, $200 billion to its market value.
It's amazing.
This is a point I made on Friday worth making again to your point, which is they reduced their headcount, I think, from a high of 87,000 to 67,000.
Wasn't that incredible?
And yet productivity went the other way. What did they triple their number per employee numbers? Right. So, that's what you want as a shareholder, certainly.
Well, look at what's happening with EL today, and that's 3 to 5%.
3 to 5%. Estee Lauder, my charitable trust owns it, has been terrible. There's a lot of misclassification they went over. I wonder if the SEC is going to take a hard look at that, even though the cash position was flat. But to go to what they're doing is basically saying, look, there's an inflection point. Actually, Fabrizio Freda called it an inflection point. And when you use the term inflection point, well, then you're home free if you have enough credibility to make it work. And I think the Estee Lauder did. We've got a lot of, there's so much in that. Jeffrey still was okay. But if you look at the Stiefel note, they're positive on it. And then I think that in the end,
It's like a crazy man's kidnap. look at this. This is what he's working off of. You knew this is what it looked like, didn't you?
I know. That's called that's called rigor. David.
Help me! I've been taken prisoner.
No! It says didn't cut the margin outlook. Okay, and that's what did it. He didn't cut the margin outlook.
Right.
And then I combine that with we are encouragingly at an inflection point. I use brown for when it's really important. I use blue for when it's somewhat important. And you probably think this is arts and crafts.
Are we finally a believer in the story, Jim? In the EL story?
Gotta listen to this call. I mean, look, I think that there was a heavy short position that once again China was going to take it down. It is a Joe Blake quarter once again. They got travel doesn't work. They had higher end products doing just okay. They got China travel. They have China to Korea travel bad. Obviously, when you have duty free bad, I don't know what's left to be bad. Even U.S. Department store didn't sound good. However, given all of that, they still are using one minus one plus one instead of the consensus was too negative.
Okay.
And that's what did it. Consensus was too negative. And David, just so you know, that's the yellow line, consensus too negative.
Got it.
Consensus was worse. That was really important. And the consensus was for minus two, and they're coming in at consensus was for earnings per share of 208 to 223, and they're going to do it. And the EBIT margin is the same when accounting for higher tax rate. So there you go. That's called beating consensus, David.
Well, we'll talk more about EL. We're going to dive into Caterpillar. Jim Mumpleby's with us. Stock's one of today's earnings winners on track for a fresh record high. We'll talk some McDonald's and Boeing and Tyson. Got some pharma M&A and Cramer's Mad Dash as we count down to the opening bell.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration. Our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
All right, let's get to a mad dash about 7 minutes before we get started with trading for the week here at the New York Stock Exchange. You know, on Friday, Jim, I talked a bit about the decline in Charter Communications shares, which impacted the shares of our parent company, Comcast, as well. Had a very bad day also after better than expected earnings in many ways.
Yes.
There's now the follow-on from analysts, not unexpected, many downgrading the stock.
Wells Fargo, they had a buy on it. J.P. Morgan surprisingly had a buy on it. Now, David, remember
no
Donald
longer.
Rumsfeld?
Neither Don- have a buy any longer.
Right. Right. Donald Rumsfeld, they're buy to hold. Unknown, unknown. David, explain this to me. ACP, according to Wells Fargo, is a known unknown. What do they mean by that?
That program is coming to an end,
right,
which subsidizes people's broadband and or wireless connections.
So we're going to get a
areas,
drop-off.
And conceivably, and Charter is relying on it perhaps more than the other companies are. And so there is a, so you know it's coming, but I guess you still don't know the impact. Maybe that's what they're referring to.
David, remember Charter in the 2000-2003 period where it was down every day?
Yeah, well, it went bankrupt.
Well, that's right.
That's not happening here.
I rest.
Not at all.
The prosecution rests.
Not at all.
No, okay. That's
not
it. I want to be sure about
not
that.
Not even
because,
close.
All right, that's
but
important.
Listen, broadband subs declined more than had been anticipated, and average revenue per user was lower than had been anticipated. You know, Jim, I've been talking, you have as well, about fixed wireless and or simply about people substituting their 5G phone and just watching, I don't know, maybe kids don't even have TVs anymore. But you do have to wonder whether T-Mobile's fixed wireless product, Verizon moving so strongly into it as well, is starting to have an impact.
Well, Mike Sievert would say, from T-Mobile would say, starting, Jim, do some homework.
Yeah.
And then we would talk about Dave Matthews, because we sent each other for a great Dave Matthews
concert.
You'd
also come up against this, which is the capacity issue, that they're much better off selling a wireless subscription in an area where they have the capacity to offer broadband. And eventually they're going to be able to do that. And so it's a limited service offering, is the belief.
Right,
we'll
but maybe the younger people just say, listen, I'm just going to...
Yeah, just use my phone.
Yeah. My kids
and then my Vision Pro.
Yeah, my kids have Netflix. They watch me on YouTube.
All right.
Perfect.
We got to go. We got an opening bell. We got a lot more things to cover, including that Novo Nordisk Catalent deal. We'll get to that. And don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere by listening to and following the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
Got some more aircraft problems for Boeing. The company says it has to rework 50 of its 737 MAX jets slated for delivery due to some misdrilled holes on Spirit AeroSystem fuselages, Jim. Meantime, you got the FT with these comments from the head of Emirates saying this is last chance saloon. We trusted these people.
It's incredible because Emirates has a real substantial Airbus position already, and it's been a very good relationship. So, I mean, maybe this is finally a customer of some size the previous CEO spent a lot of time with me telling me that Emirates was Boeing's, that Emirates was going toward Boeing. And I thought that this showed me that perhaps the previous CEO, Muhlenberg, his opportunity to go with Emirates may be on the road.
We'll pick up on that point in a moment. Let's get the opening bell and the CNBC Real-Time Exchange, and the big board specialty chemicals company, Element Solutions, 5th anniversary, and the NASDAQ analytics software company, Cognite, making its 30th anniversary as we get some negative breath here on the open following Kyle's comments. Jim, your point, though, on Boeing is that it might not mean you switch to Airbus, but maybe you double down on Airbus a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, when I look at what's going on with Boeing, it's Spirit. They indicate that, you know, they've been very cagey. Now, we went full bore, I think, on Calhoun about whether this is something, maybe they should rethink the relationship with Spirit, which the relationship, they're killing every supplier to Boeing. The relationship is so questionable to me, and you can continue to argue that it doesn't matter and it's really owned by Boeing. It's Boeing's fault. And that's great. That they fall on their sword. How about just dealing with the problems at Spirit, point blank? Maybe this was a questionable relationship and they ought to buy Spirit if they had the balance sheet so they can get it under control.
Well, you certainly brought that up with Calhoun last week.
Well, they don't want to go there. They don't want to go anywhere. They're just hoping to ride it out. Figure the media will get exhausted eventually. won't comment on it. I think these are airplanes. People ride them. I think the media is never going to give up.
Certainly dinging the Dow here, Boeing, on top of the additional weakness that we're going to get, Jim, from the Powell comments. Although, interestingly, the head of the Boston Fed, Rosengren, said this was a confusing interview in which Pelley's voiceover sort of references maybe
that's
a 50-point cut. That was, but does it increase more uncertainty?
I almost felt that it was a general mass audience view.
I'm a little afraid that 60 Minutes may not have a deep understanding of Fed policy.
Happy birthday, Jay Powell.
Sorry about
that.
I just, I'll stick with Tim Rose at the Journal or Steve Leisman, please. Or Sarah Eisen. Not Scott Pelley. No offense, Scott. Well, great journalist, but not his area of expertise.
Well, I mean,
area of expertise.
I mean, well, I think at the end, you turn to each other if you're watching with someone, you say, well, that was nothing new. Let's go back to what we were watching. I really feel there's nothing new. So anyone who's selling on this is like reacting to the news that came out before the employment number. The employment number was significant.
It was.
But interest rates, you know, we've got the...
Quite significant.
We have everything going back to four. But, you know, one of the things he made is it doesn't hurt any... Housing's not been hurt at all.
Well...
No, Kashkari's got a piece out today suggesting that maybe the neutral rate is higher than we think.
Well, that's the end of the soft hard.
Yeah.
The neutral rate is high. It's working. And we have an economy that's growing. Without that, with a little bit of inflation, you know, now that we saw the number on Friday, you go back and do the interview, you would have to say, well, wait a second, we have wage growth. Is that sustainable? Is that going to cause inflation?
Right. Guys, we did have a deal this morning. We actually
On Catalent?
Yeah, we had a few deals, but Catalent is the one I want to sort of focus on this morning, given both its size and also our viewers may recall this is a company that had just a series of issues, whether it was manufacturing issues, because they manufacture, their key business is manufacturing drugs for other companies. They're the manufacturing sites for many of the drugs that we know well. Series of issues there. Then in terms of their financials, Elliott came in, activists. There was a deal, or at least there was a thought that it might get sold at one point. It didn't, but now it is. And at a nice premium. Not at an all-time high. $63.50 is the price. And the buyer here is Novo Holdings. And I have to say, Jim, I was not, I'm sure you were, because you always know these things, but I was not aware that Novo Holdings, which is a part of the Novo Nordisk Foundation, basically manages the assets of this foundation, which has over $100 billion in assets, is the controlling shareholder of the company that we also talk about so often, Novo Nordisk itself. Of course, why do we talk about it? Because of GLP-1s, because of its big drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy.
And so therefore, wasn't it quite weird that that one entity bought the three plants that were involved with
Wegovy? Yes, so the deal is as such, premium deal here for Catalent, which, as you know, has been a problematic company. And then immediately, they're selling three large manufacturing facilities, they own many more than that, for $11 billion to Novo Nordisk. Which would seem to put them in a position to meet perhaps the ever-growing demand for their products, Jim.
Correct. And I thought
they're paying quite a price, by the way, for those three facilities.
I thought that was Elliott Partners, Mark Steinberg.
Yes.
We know from last week from Etsy.
From Pinterest and from Etsy. That's
the
right.
The person has wide-ranging interest,
apparently,
Mark Steinberg.
Apparently, Mr. Steinberg is a Renaissance man.
Yes, he's a Renaissance man. But I'll tell you one thing about this deal, Carl. But let's just cut to the chase. The demand for these products are insane. Now, someone might have said, wait a second, this has got to hurt Eli Lilly because they're going to have more. They finally have the capacity to meet demand. No. And Eli Lilly's up because this is just one more sign that you can't make enough of this stuff. There's new trials coming out. We'll be speaking to Eli Lilly. But I do think that this is a referendum that there's so much demand and they cannot. There's no way they can meet anywhere near the supply for this. I also find, Dave, maybe you can stop me on this, but I don't think it really created a lot more ability to make it.
No. In terms of timing and the close, acquisition expected to have low single-digit negative impact on operating profit growth in both 24 and 25. It's an upfront payment of $11 billion, That's enterprise value for the sites, as well as plus additional value for certain corporate assets and liabilities attributable to those businesses. Now, none of this is going to happen
immediately.
First, you got to get the deal closed. Oh, sorry.
Someone might think that's GOP-1, but it's actually international.
Right. It's actually also off of earnings, right? So why don't we talk about it?
The international miss, interesting. The comments, Jim, from Kempczinski about the misinformation, disheartening, ill-founded in international. And then comments about the low end, Jim, losing some traction among the low end as it's now cheaper to go to the grocery store than it is to eat away from home.
Well, look, this is the Costco issue. I mean, Costco's put through major price cuts. The meat section, it was radical, the prices I saw this weekend. I have to tell you that this conference was not unlike Luxman and Narasimha's conference for Starbucks. Starbucks hurt more domestically, no ties with Israel. But it was, look, I think Kempczinski, I think he's being very prudent in talking about how the lower end is hurt. I mean, same thing with Dollar Tree. They should be, there are consequences to having locked into lower wages with higher, as Powell said, higher food prices. But one way to conquer is to go to the supermarket. But go to the right supermarket. Go to Walmart grocer, or more importantly, go to Costco grocer, and you're going to see prices that will make it so you don't have to worry about going out. You'd stay in. By the way, remember, don't forget what America's Best said. Younger people going out like crazy. So it really is low end, no. High end, spending like the darn fool heads off.
Right.
Including at Chili's.
Yes, I know you had... You had Brinker on the other day, you're all about Chili's now.
I'm about how many hamburgers. Do you know that I put up the hamburgers? I had like the most TikTok I've had since, the most TikTok I ever had was when we didn't talk about this, Mr. Hunt. I asked him a question about Taylor Swift, and that was all it took.
That's
suddenly,
great,
suddenly I was in the top 100 TikToks.
Jim, you started the show by talking about earnings and the takeaway that we've gotten. But I would argue that when it comes to technology, the one takeaway that investors seem to have is that AI is ascendant. It will never stop. And there's going to be more and more spending.
The Goldman Nvidia piece? Is that what you're talking about?
I didn't even see that piece. I'm just looking at a stock price that's up another 3.5% this morning. That is Nvidia.
I said own it. Don't trade it.
Now very close, Carl, to a 1.7. $1 trillion market value.
All aboard.
It's really not that long ago. Of course, we can all remember when it just crossed the $1 trillion mark, and here it is 70% higher.
Well, did you have with the Meta comments? Zuckerberg, I wanted to know whether Zuckerberg bought so many of the graphics cards that he blocked other companies. But there's a Goldman piece this morning which talks about all the large Nvidia, now beleaguered Alphabet, I'll call them that. Obviously, Amazon. Microsoft, they're just buying so many of these that Zuckerberg, I felt, maybe he's buying now for stuff he doesn't even know about yet. He's betting he'll need them.
Goldman was at 625. They go to 800. I was looking at the street, Jim. Average target now, 680. But of the majors, Goldman is the high. Loop still has 1,000. There's some outliers there. But
well, what they're now saying is that 24 is not an inflection. Next year's going to be huge. And there's really no limit. I mean, the 200 is going to ship. People were confused by the AMD head-to-head NVIDIA because NVIDIA did not have the software stack included in the contest there. But I think that NVIDIA is enabling you to be able to do a lot more things with chat and a lot more things with AI than you could before, Dave. Including, footnotes started. You can footnote. That's the way you get rid of hallucination. Mm-hmm. You can footnote things. Mm-hmm. It started in November with RAG. It's a form of RAG is a form of artificial intelligence that allows you to reference things.
You can where do you find these footnotes?
The NVIDIA blog from November. It's finally come true. It's really excellent.
Meantime, last night B of A had a desk note, basically just musing about which company is going to make AI click for the consumer.
Interesting.
And this desk's view was that it would be Apple. Whenever that is, it would be Apple.
Well,
do you
think
that's right?
I think that Samsung right now has some pretty cool stuff where you can just draw a circle on something and then let's say you did +4, like my wife's mascot, you circle it. Then immediately you would see everything because it out pops the Google entry. That could be Edge. We don't know. But the idea with Edge, just so we know, is that this was David, that this machine itself will not require you to go to the cloud. It'll be right on there.
And eventually right in there.
Yes. But it matters, because if this is more powerful, it will redound to Apple's benefit. And Apple's obviously AI, but Apple, its best days are ahead of it.
Wow. NVIDIA.
Let's go to break.
I told you about NVIDIA. You said we were. You said we'd be safe short NVIDIA.
I never said that. It's a lie.
That wasn't bald-faced lie, but I saw it on TikTok.
Take a look at the bond market today. We're going to get some services data, PMI in a minute, and then ISM at the top of the hour, along with SLUS, the Senior Loan Officer Survey, and Bostic this afternoon, 10-year 112. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. Rick Santella here, live at CME HQ with the first of the breaking news events of this week. Starting out with S&P Global, the services PMI. These are January finals that will replace mid-month read. Mid-month, 52.9. Take 0.4 away and you arrive at the final read of 52.5, best since July. And even though it was downgraded a bit. Now, if we look at the composite, 52.3 was mid-month read. It also gets downgraded by 0.3 to 52.0. 52.0 equals August and July of last year. To find a higher number, you have to go to June of last year. We still have ISM services PMIs to come out, and that'll be top of the hour. Do keep in mind, we're seeing a bear steepening, less inverted on the yield curve. Rates across the curve are higher, but they're higher in long maturities. And the dollar index, it's on pace for its best close since mid-November. Squawk on the Street will return after a short break.
Caterpillar hitting a fresh record high after posting an earnings beat and many other things that drive this stock. We've got Caterpillar Chairman and CEO Jim Umpleby joining us exclusively now. First, Jim, I'm just going to outright congratulate you, because I know that there were some, last time you reported, the stock goes down to 208. People didn't understand what went on. You were very clear on Mad Money that this was the beginning of a major breakout. What does the breakout include? Because it's obviously up 120 points since that interview.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you, Carl and David, this morning. Let's just start by just thanking our global team for another strong quarter and an outstanding 2023 record financial performance. And to answer your question, what's really driving it was sales and revenues, all-time record up 13%. Adjusted profit per share, again, all-time record up 53%. And we're also very proud of our team's ability to generate cash. Our ME&T free cash flow was up 74%, all-time record of $10 billion. And we returned last year $7.5 billion to shareholders through share repurchases and dividends. So again, couldn't be more proud of our global team and how they performed in the last year.
I think one of the things that I think people have to understand is that this is a new cat. When I read that demand remained healthy for non-residential and residential construction, people probably don't understand. Non-residential includes incredible infra, which is going to be spent also this year, but also data center, which I think now is much more important than almost anything you do.
Well, you know, we serve a variety of diverse end markets, and we are quite excited about the opportunities. We do believe that our total addressable market is expanding due to the secular growth trend around data centers and that growth that's there due to cloud computing and generative AI. And so we're excited about that opportunity. And we actually announced in our investor call a few minutes ago that we're making a large multi-year investment to increase our manufacturing capacity around large engines. And those will help us serve that growing demand in power generation around data centers. Also, we believe there's an opportunity over time through the energy transition. As more renewables are added to the grid, our large reciprocating engines and our gas turbines can be used to provide grid stability. And those engines and gas turbines burn a wide variety of fuels, natural gas, biofuels, hydrogen blends. So again, we're very excited about what we see as future growth opportunities moving forward.
Now, Jim, one of the things that has dogged you or dogged your company, and I think incorrectly, is that there had always been a belief that there maybe was too much inventory. I think you put that paid. That's no longer the issue. If anything, I would think that you do have an equipment shortage. You did note that there could be a little dip in some businesses, which I think is one of the reasons why the stock is coming down. Can we clarify that? Because I think that was that the dip, so to speak, was in one bit of business and should not color 2024 earnings.
Yeah, as we think about dealer inventory, you know, it's important to keep in mind that our dealers are independent businesses and they make their own decisions about their inventory. And the decisions they make are based on a variety of things. One is availability of equipment, and the other is what they see happening in the marketplace. And so as the supply chain constraints have started to ease, our availability has improved, and that's allowed dealers, again, to make different decisions, and our customers as well, as to when they place orders for machines. But the bottom line on dealer inventory is we're squarely in what we consider the appropriate typical range for dealer inventory, so we're not concerned about that at all.
Now, I did want to talk about the fact that supply chain is now good. We spoke to Nucor last week, and one of the things Nucor said was actually your business, not your business specifically, but the business that you're in, machinery, was weaker. It obviously wasn't you, and I think that when I see supply chain ease, what that tells me is gross margin going to get better this year, which matters tremendously, and also I think you can meet the demand of the hottest units.
Well, we have been working very hard to increase the resiliency of our supply chain, and we're continuing to work on that. We, as I mentioned, we have seen supply chain conditions ease, but we also talked about the fact that we are still facing some constraints around large engines, and that has an impact on power generation and oil and gas and a bit on our larger machines. But again, you know, we feel comfortable with where we are. We're making the right kinds of investments to continue to profitably grow our business.
Let's talk about infrastructure, because I was surprised, actually, you didn't need to emphasize it, frankly, because you have so much core business. But I have to believe that when we start talking about chips, talk about IRA, that this is not something that necessarily ends in 2024. If anything, it seems like it's just starting.
Well, you know, we had a strong 2023 in construction industries, and we told our investors today that we expect another strong year, particularly in North America, in 2024. And, of course, a lot of that is underpinned by the infrastructure investments that are government supported. So again, we do feel good about what we see in 2024. And it does take time for permitting to come through on many large projects, as you know. So we believe that the infrastructure investments being made by the government will play out over time as those permitting processes conclude.
In the old days, I would expect that you would have some sort of a relationship maybe with a business that may be in construction. Earlier this year, we announced the success of collaboration with Microsoft and Power Systems demonstrate the viability of using large format hydrogen. I want to combine what you're talking about, which is a new customer set with, and just drill down, because you did mention it, to sustainability, because this is, again, a market that's 2026 to 2030, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so we're investing in a variety of sustainability initiatives. One is making our traditional equipment more efficient, and we're doing that, and we talked about a new product that we introduced recently that is improving fuel efficiency, which improves emissions. But as you mentioned, we're also working with our customers to really work on some cutting edge kinds of advancements in sustainability. With Microsoft, you know, we were the systems integrator, and we were able to demonstrate hydrogen fuel cell backup for data centers. And at the same time, though, we are supporting them with more of our traditional machines as well. So really, we're doing both. We're supporting our customers today, and we're also investing for the future to support them and as they strive to meet their sustainability objectives.
Hey, finally, Jim, I know you had a comment on the call about China demand, specifically on heavy excavators. Can you just talk about what that trajectory looks like?
You know, China, typically, if you look over a long period of time, China represents 5 to 10% of our total sales. We had a couple of very strong years in 2020 and 2021. We saw a decline in 2022, a further decline in 2023. And so we told investors that last year we were below that 5 to 10% range. We expect that market to be relatively weak again this year. And that market for us is primarily hydraulic excavators above 10 ton. But again, regardless of the fact that the Chinese market was relatively weak last year, as I mentioned, we produced record results.
Okay, Jim, thank you so much for coming on. I think it's very special to have you on right after the call, and it was very meaningful. Really appreciate it. Jim Umpleby, CEO of Caterpillar.
Thank you, Jim, Carl, and Dave.
Yeah. We have this guy, Jason Gewirtz. He's really fabulous. Puts out a memo. He put out a memo citing something that we did for the Travelers Trust involving Danaher, and how we held on and we got the gain in Danaher. We're going to tell that story tonight. I would not have do it. I would not be self-reverential. I am reverential of Jason, who I think we would all admit is a guy who doesn't get enough credit because we don't talk about behind-the-scenes people who would make us look smarter.
Yeah, all our behind-the-scenes people don't get enough credit.
Yeah, all period. Of them, absolutely. And David, the NVIDIA short, it never was you. It turned out to be this dark web on TikTok.
I, if anything, have been quite positive on NVIDIA. Listening to you, Jim. Shares of which are now up 4.7%, and it is now a $1.7 trillion market value.
I got to rename this dog. Right? You know, we have Ragged and Tony.
Got to go back.
I think Tony, we got to go right back. He's Jensen.
NVIDIA too.
He's Jensen.
NVIDIA too.
No, he's Jensen.
Jensen.
He's Jensen.
That's a great name.
Here's Jensen. He doesn't answer anything other than a piece of steak, so who the hell cares?
Jim, we'll see you at 6. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Holding 49.50. ISM services on the way.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.